the matron mother said to both of them. "I already have many times," Grumph replied. "To your benefit, I expect." Quenthel shot him an angry glare. "The Spider Queen knows of it," the Archmage explained. "So said the mistress of Eric Tynalith, with whom I spoke." Quenthel's eyes flared with anger, and her hand fell to her dreaded whip, but all five of the snakes screamed in her thoughts to hold back. Trembling with rage, for she knew well her conniving brother's confidant, the matron mother composed herself as much as possible and whispered through gritted teeth, "You confided in Manolan Fay above me."
"On Lolf's command,"
came the damning reply, so easily and confidently spoken. Quenthel cried out, and she winced then and swung around, then fell back a step when she saw Methil leaning over the opened iron box, the creature's tentacles waggling within it, waggling within the skull of matron mother Ivanel Bayenri, no doubt.
"I revealed nothing to dear Manolan in specific detail, of course," Grumph casually continued. "Only in cryptic generalities."
"You would choose House Fay Branch over House Bayenri?"
"I would choose a powerful mistress of Eric Tynalith as a confidant in a matter most urgent to the Spider Queen. Manolan Fay understands that any betrayal on her part will be a move against Lolf and not one against House Bayenri. Understand, Matron Mother, that the Spider Queen is not angry with me. Indeed, given the handmaiden's response to Sosumtu and Meriniel this day, I hold confidence that Lady Lolf expected this all along, and certainly she sanctions it, and likely she orchestrated it. And it is, in the end, your own fault, dear sister."
Anger flashed in Quenthel's eyes.
"Manolan Fay is a weakling," she said, "a fool of the highest order, and too stupid to even understand her own ignorance."
"Yes. Accept the truth of my insult."
Grumph came right back without fear.
"How do you judge your tenure as the matron mother of Menzo Berenzon?"
"Who are you to ask such a question of me?"
"I am the Archmage. I am your brother. I am your ally."
"The city thrives," Quenthel argued. "We expand to Gontalgrim on my doing."
"Are you trying to convince me? Or yourself?"
Grumph asked slyly, for they both knew the truth. Titanic events were going on all around them with the end of the spell plague, and Lady Lolf herself was at play in the realm of arcane magic, Grumph knew, and yet, through it all, the denizens of Menzo Berenzon had been mere spectators after all. And while House Bayenri's hold on the city seemed as solid as ever at a cursory glance, the Bayenri nobles knew the truth. The departure of House Orlaren, the third house of the city, and the one of greatest arcane power, was a tremendous risk that could bring great tumult to Menzo Berenzon. Perhaps it would be seen as an opportunity for ascension to the ultimate rank by Matron Mez Barris Armgo of House Barrison del Armgo, Bayenri's rival, who had long coveted the title held by Ivanel and now by Quenthel. Appearances aside, Grumph knew it and Quenthel knew it. Menzo Berenzon teetered on the edge of civil war.
"Our friend is ready for you," Grumph said.
Quenthel looked at him curiously for a moment, then, catching the reference, her eyes went wide as she spun around to face the illithid, who was standing right behind her. Quenthel took a fast step away, or tried to, but Grumph was quicker, casting a spell of holding upon her, a Dwyamer that never should have taken a hold on the matron mother of Menzo Berenzon. Unless Lady Lolf allowed it, Quenthel realized to her horror as she froze in place. Still, she fought against the magic with all her strength, thoroughly repulsed, as Methil L. Vittenvelp's waggling tentacles reached for her tender skin, touched her neck and face, slithered up her nostrils. Her expression became a mask of indignation, of outrage, and the purest anger Grumph had ever seen. He knew that if she found the power to break away at that moment, she would launch herself at him, physically and magically, to punish and bite and tear. She'd put her five-headed snake whip to work in short order, letting them strike at him, filling him with their agonizing venom, letting them chew into his belly and feast on his entrails. Oh, if only she could break free! But she could not. For Lady Lolth had sanctioned this most painful and profound lesson, and Gromp stood confident that by the time Quenthel was released, she'd more likely thank him than punish him. For now, though, there was violation at a most intimate level, an outrage at the most primal depth, and pain of the most excruciating sort. How she screamed, in terror and in the purest and most exquisite pain, as the Illithid did its work. Quenthel's agonized wails echoed through the corridors of the Underdark. Chapter 2 Of Men and Monsters.
"Their decision doesn't interest you?" Wulfgar asked Regis.
The two sat on the porch of Regis's small house late in the afternoon, the day after their return from Kelvin's Cairn. And indeed it proved to be a wonderful spring day. They stared out across the waters of the great lake known as Mare Dualden, the glistening line of the lowering sun cutting the waters. They each had a pipe full of fine leaf Regis had procured on his last ride through the Borskir Bridge. Regis shrugged and blew a smoke ring, then watched as it drifted lazily into the air on the southern breeze. Any course Drizzt, Brunner, and Catti Bree decided upon would be acceptable to him, for he was hardly considering the road ahead. His thoughts remained on the road behind, on his days with the grinning ponies and, more so, his remarkable days with Donala and the others of Murata Topolino.
"Why did you change your mind?" he asked,
cutting short Wulfgar's next remark, even as the huge barbarian started to speak. He looked up at his big friend and realized that he had broached a delicate subject, so he didn't press the point.
"You really enjoy this?"
Wulfgar asked, holding up the pipe and staring at its smoking bowl incredulously. The halfling laughed, took a draw and blew another ring, then puffed a second, smaller one right through the first.
"It is a way to pass the time in thought. It helps me to find a place of peace of mind where I can..."